Let me make one thing abundantly clear, that if I was ever knighted, like the English are, you know, like Sir Paul McCartney, Sir Alec Guinness, you know, which is impossible because I'm not English, but if I was, and I was Sir John, I would wear chainmail every day and I would probably start the Crusades again. That's a fact. Oh, I'm an ape man, I'm an ape man, oh, I'm an ape man. I'm a King Kong man, I'm a voodoo man, oh, I'm an ape man. I don't want to die in a nuclear war, on a distant shore, and live like an ape man. La 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 la. Da 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 da. Come on and love me, be my ape man girl, and we'll be so happy in my ape man world. What a strange song, courtesy of the Kinks, an English band often overlooked as one of the greats. I don't know, maybe not, maybe I'm just oversimplifying things. Ray Davies and his brother Dave Davies. Dave Davies. It's like John Johnson, Rick Rickson, Phil Filson. Now the Kinks, classic. You know, dun 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 dun. I met her in a bar down in old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola, C-O-L-A-Cola. Them English bands, man. What you got to say for yourself? Stones, Beatles, The Who, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Genesis, Oasis, Blur, Radiohead, The Police. Fuck, that's a lot of monster acts coming out of a tiny little island nation, a colonial, colonistic nation. But, yeah. How about them English? How about them English? Well, that's not even why I was singing that. I was singing that Ape Man song. I love, well, because I like it. It's funny. Talking about going back to living in the trees and shit, you know? Not dying in a nuclear war. It's fitting. It's fitting even in today's hustle and bustle. You know, that was back in the 60s. The Kinks. The Kinks were up there with the Stones, the Beatles, the Who, Zeppelin. Although Zeppelin's probably the darkest and baddest of all. Like, they're just the gods of rock.
The whole black magic, you know, the whole, like,
Jimmy Page's kind of dabbling in all the dark arts and all that shit. And then Robert Plant, who'd wear the shirt of whichever girl he banged the night before, right? So he'll be up there wearing a shirt that says, nurses do it better, or some shit, you know? I was telling my mom on the way up to see Pops last Saturday. I was listening to Norwegian Wood, the Beatles, you know. I once had a girl, or should I say, she once had me. And the whole title is Norwegian Wood, and then in parentheses, this bird has flown, right? Which is sounds so lyrical and so poetic, but all it really means is like bird is kind of a derogatory term with the English. Like that's what the lower class kind of describe females at. Like, look at that bird, you know, the old bird. And so the title being, this bird has flown, you know. Although, yeah, it does sound poetic, but it's also like, it sounds more like John tried to, you know, bang some chick on the way home and she just kind of, I don't know, talked him out of it, bored him to death. He fell asleep in the bathtub and the next morning she was gone. This bird had flown, right? Like, back when I was in my 20s, there was always, you know, I worked at a bookstore. I worked at Tower Books, where owned by Russ Solomon, who's the biggest asshole in the world. R.I.P. Russ Solomon, motherfucker. He had stores all over the world, literally all over the world. There's one in Piccadilly Circus, even in London. And, but he had been quoted as saying, I'll never pay my staff more than minimum wage because I know they steal from me. Well, first of all, yeah, we do steal from you. And second of all, you're a dick. But the staff in there, see, you did, like, they were always a younger crowd. They were like the original emo kind of weird, not necessarily bohemian, but like, you know, little left of center. You know, I always forget what you call those guys, the hipsters. This is like pre-hipster. Although the hipsters had existed, the term really wasn't as bandied about as it is today. But I think that's where the hipsters were. Like, one guy I worked with, his name was Chris Arnold. I think I'd even mentioned this in a previous episode with... he was in my English class in, like, I think it was my freshman year in high school. And, there, you know, he was kind of a somber kid, wore trench coat, you know. Looking back, you're like, it's kind of pre-Columbine, but it had that vibe a little. But he worked there, and I remember in class one day, our teacher, Mrs. Estakin, who I can still picture today, she kind of looked like the witch in Snow White. But not the, you know, without the, you know, the great personality, but, she was calling on him. We were reading some fucking book, we were reading Rebecca or The Great Gatsby or some shit, you know, and he got called on, and then there must've been something going on at home. I mean, this guy, Chris Arnold, just wasn't, you know, he was rebelling against something, but nothing that was, you know, overly apparent at the time. It's just, he just had that demeanor, you know. But she'd call on him in the middle of class to, like, I don't know, answer a question or something. And he just goes, why don't you go fuck yourself? You know, like, I'm like, yeah, all right. Let's see where this is going to go. But he went to the office. He went to the principal. He didn't get expelled or anything. But thought that, well, that's a bold answer. Maybe he didn't read the book, I don't know. But he worked at Tower Books where I worked. But these guys, they all had theories, you know, weird theories that I was talking about. Like this other guy, his name was it was Chris. I think his real name was like Paul, but he went by Chris, or vice versa. I can't remember now. This is, 30 years ago now. But he and I would crack on everyone that came in. Just mercilessly, you know. But, you know, you'd sit up at the information desk and people watch, and they'd come up and ask you questions, and then he'd type up on the computer, you know, this person's a fucking loser, fucking idiot. Or some shit, you know, but we would, as people walked in, you know, we, based on the character that they were kind of, you know, the way that they were carrying themselves, he would go, you think they're on the bus or off the bus? What that meant was, do you think they took acid or didn't they, you know? Because there's that theory, was Tom Robbins on the bus or off the bus? Even though there's no documentation that he was on the bus, he's definitely a candidate for being on the bus, But that's what we do all day. People walking in. Oh, you think they're on the bus? Nah, they're not on the bus. But one theory about the song Norwegian Wood. Gee, that was a long roundabout way to come back to this song. But one theory, I think, was offered up by one of the kooks there, this older woman that worked there, who was definitely on the bus. And she goes, you know, in the end of Norwegian Wood, you know why they call it Norwegian Wood? Because he burned the house down. I'm like, okay. At the time, I'm probably like, yeah, you know what? That's, like, you know what? I think you're right. I think you're onto something. Fuck. But now it's like, I think you got too much time on your hands now. And, because they didn't really read a whole lot into that. The Beatles didn't. I don't think they trolled. They deliberately trolled a lot of people. The whole Paul is dead theory, I think, you know, where, like, he's barefoot in the album cover of Abbey Road, which is evidently how they bury the dead in England or worldwide. I don't know. Was supposed to be a hint or a clue. If you play one of the songs on the White Album backwards, it says, turn me on, dead man, turn me on, dead man. Which, actually, that's true. I've listened to that. I've heard that. Turn me on, dead man, turn me on, dead man. How are you supposed to connect those dots? I don't know. To Paul's death, that it was really just a, you know, like his stunt double was actually touring with them, which they didn't really tour after 65, but and what was the other thing? Oh, although in the song Glass Onion on the White Album as well, I tell you about the walrus and me, man, you know that we're as close as can be, man. Then he goes, here's another clue for you all. The walrus is Paul. You know, so like it's a deliberate troll. He's throwing you a bone, right? But what does that mean? Is the walrus some kind of symbol of death or rebirth or what? He's just fucking with your heads, though. At that point, he's just fucking with your head. Like, there's no, like, that's a lot of, for as busy as those motherfuckers were, like, they don't really have time to construct some elaborate kind of Paul is dead theory. It's just funny. Like, once the word gets out, obviously they're gonna run with it, maybe, or have a good time with it. But there you have the meaning in art, the meaning in entertainment, the subversive meaning of it all, right? Like, what's it all about? What's it all about, man? What's really going on, right? Well, it's just, okay, I'm just going to jump topics here. I'm just going to turn abruptly. I'm just going to steer the craft ever so abruptly in the other direction now and talk about, to recap for one, excuse me, that boy is a P.I.G. pig. So Monday night was a, if you drank the Kool-Aid, then you probably felt like the Bucks had a chance. I had a sip of the Kool-Aid. And I thought, Brady's never lost to the Cowboys. I just think there's no gas left in the tank. I saw a meme on Instagram. It said something to the effect of, like, this guy gave up his Brazilian supermodel wife to go 8-9 and lose in the first round. No. Well, yeah. Looks fade. but you know what doesn't fade? Lombardi trophies. Nah, that's fucked up. That's a real reductive way of looking at it. But No, obviously he didn't. I'm sure he probably didn't want his wife to leave. But when you're in a groove, man, you go. You ride that groove. I don't know. I'm not even going to go down that road. Who gives a fuck? It's over. He's probably going to be a Raider next year. He's either going to be a Raider or a Dolphin. And I don't think... I don't see where that makes sense to be a Dolphin because they've got Tua Valgalogia, who's very good. And I'm sure they want him to get more reps as a starter. So... And the Raiders just got, I think, Derek Carr is a thing of the past now with the motherfucking Raiders. The Raiders! So, move on, man. There's not a... The only trace of anything NFC or AFC South left in the playoffs is the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are playing... who are they playing? The fucking... the Chiefs. Oh, so that's going to be one and done. Like, Chiefs are going to... Chiefs are going to beat them into jelly. It's not even going to... It's not even going to be pretty. You're going to Arrowhead with a young team. Tell Mom I love her. But... So, you got Jags, Chiefs, then you got, on the other end of the, I think the game to watch will be Bengals, Bills, which should have happened in the regular season and didn't, and maybe that's the conspiratorial leaning that we all needed. Like, maybe the Damar Hamlin thing was just a smokescreen or a diversionary tactic. They didn't want that game to happen. They didn't want it to happen, because that should be the Super Bowl, Bengals, Bills, even though... Bengals were pretty lackluster, as well as the Bills were pretty lackluster. But you know why? Because they didn't have to give it everything, because it's all pre-planned, right? All right, so you've gone full tinfoil hat theory on this, right? So they wanted them to meet up again, because that's the real... Nah, shut the fuck up with all that stuff. It's just going to be a good game. So you got Bills, Bengals, and you got Jags... and Chiefs. So it should be, like I say, it was going to be Bills, Chiefs, AFC Championship, or Chiefs, Bengals, AFC Championship. And the Jags look good. That's a good looking team, even though Trevor Lawrence threw 4 TDs against the Chargers, who couldn't find the end zone with a Thomas guy in that game. But it's just not going to be enough against the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes can forward lateral a pass. He's allowed to forward lateral passes now, underarm passes, for any length at any time without repercussion. And he also throws 5,000 yards every year, whether it's a 16-game season, 17-game season, 11-game season, 40-game season. Who gives a... He's that guy. Whatever you think of him, he's that guy. But the NFC is like, who gives a fuck? Like, you got Cowboys, Niners. I hope they both lose, but the Niners are going to. It's going to be like. I think it's going to be like prison sex. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be pretty. And the Cowboys are just going to have... It's just going to be... You know, just bend over and think of London, right? Just get it over with. And then the other game is fucking... Eagles-Giants? Who gives a... I hope they both lose. Why can't they both lose? But... There's never been a game I haven't wanted to see... more than that one. But Eagles, based on what they've shown through the season, should beat the Giants pretty... It won't be a laydown, but it'll be... I think that it's going to be Eagles. It'll be Eagles, Niners, NFC Championship, Chiefs, Bills, AFC Championship. And then it's going to be Bills... Bills Eagles Super Bowl. You heard it. You heard it here first. 1-19, January 19th. Almost two full weeks before February. You heard it here first. It's going to be Eagles Bills Super Bowl. There. Now, enough football talk. All right? Enough. Nobody gives a fuck, man. So I saw King Kong the other night. Sorry. Getting old. I saw the last I can't even keep up anymore with King Kong tomorrow. There's as many King Kongs now as there are Batmans. I mean, how many Batmans are there? There's like a metric ton of Batmans, like, since the beginning, like Adam West, Michael Keaton, George Clooney, Val Kilmer, Christian Bale, Robert Pattinson, Ben Affleck. I mean, fuck. Batman? Wasn't Michael J. Fox a Batman? Wasn't he one of the Batman? I don't know. There's a joke there. I'm not going to go there, though. But, so there's been a lot of King Kongs, but off the top of my head, there was the original with Fay Wray from 1933, which is laughably awful, but it's still a classic. You know, it's like the original Dracula. There's something about it. Then you've got the 70, was it, was 79 version that was the Dino De Laurentiis production. I can't remember who the fuck directed that one. Anyway, it's the one with Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange, which I think is good, but it's still got that weird, like, here's a giant replicated gorilla paw that's going to swing through on a forklift, and you were supposed to kind of believe it's a giant gorilla in real time. No, but it wasn't a bad, it had its moments. It's kind of like a weird, it's different than the original, and it had Charles Grodin's like the dude who's running he's like a oil company executive they're out looking for oil, and they stumble across, you know, a 10-story ape. Sure, okay. And Jeff Bridges, he's looking like a surfer boy, you know, in his 20s, which he probably was. Jessica Lange looking like a dime piece, looking like she wants you to take her seriously as an actress, okay? Which I think didn't she win the Best Supporting Actress in Tootsie? But, anyway, so that version was, like I say, it had its moments. Like, I like Jessica Lange, that's for sure. I like Jeff Bridges, you know, and this is like literally 20 years before Big Lebowski, which is kind of weird, but no, the version I watched last night was the Peter Jackson one, which, give it up for Peter Jackson. I forgot he directed that, and he's like, you know, he's kind of the fucking man. You know, he's kind of this hobbit-looking, grizzly-looking, hairy, oafish-looking dude that kind of broke on the scene with, I think it was it Heavenly Creatures, which was Kate Winslet's first film, where they played, this is back in the early 90s. The two girls that killed their mom or something like that. I think that was Peter Jackson. It's kind of had an element of a little bit of horror. I'm gonna have to double check that one. But he also did a movie, oddly enough, with Michael J. Fox, back in the early 90s, called The Frighteners, which is takes place in New Zealand, which is where Peter Jackson's from. Shout out to Peter Jackson, like a dude from New Zealand that just made it, made a go of it, dude. Like that's hard. That's hard to break into the business when you're from New Zealand. Where is New Zealand? Like, New Zealand is like, you know, several days journey by boat off the coast of Australia and Antarctica, right? Like somewhere near the Drake Passage, I think. I don't know. Is it? I mean, it's like 2 days by plane from anything. And so it's, to be that remote and to have, and although I'll tell you this, The Frighteners, which was a good movie about these ghosts, they're kind of like Ghostbuster types. Michael J. Fox plays this kind of, discount version Ghostbuster who, I think he actually has ghosts that go and haunt the house to keep him employed, keep him busy. He kind of manipulates the situation with a couple of ghosts, but then he runs into like a real ghost, and then, you know, chaos ensues and they all live happily ever after. But then of course you got the Lord of the Rings trilogy stuff. But Peter Jackson, Peter Jackson just came out with the Beatles, I guess, I don't know if I'm gonna call it a documentary, I guess. It's just archival footage of them putting together their last album, why am I drawing a blank? It's the one with Get Back, you know? Is that what it's called? Anyway, I'll have to come up with that too. Shit. Their last album was, it's a good one. I'm just drawing a blank. What the fuck? What the fuck, man? I'm getting old. But in between, he did King Kong. And I had never seen a centimeter of this film prior to last night. And when I turned it on, I thought, okay, well, let's go. I'm into big, giant, weird monster movies. Why not? Fuck it. How can you not love it? You don't have to think, you know, it's perfect. You know, it looks as though most of it was green screen, but what I liked about it though was, now you've got, kind of a third take on the whole story, the narrative, this being, told, I guess, from the vantage point of Jack Black, who's like a filmmaker who dupes this this operation into helping him get out to shoot a fake documentary about something on an island somewhere, and it takes place in the 30s. So the backgrounds and the decor and the set pieces, although it doesn't look like they constructed sets, it looks like it's all kind of CGI, but it's all takes place in the 30s. Everything's as opposed to the 70s King Kong, which was, it looked more present day 70s. And they were oil executives. So, but this one had a lot more. I mean, obviously Peter Jackson's like a special effects guy, and he didn't hold back. It was really well. I mean, all the pieces, whether it was CGI or even kind of slightly supplemented with real backgrounds, it all was very well. The cars, the motif, the style, it was all really well done. Like you really bought it. I mean, this had to have been it had to have been expensive to do this movie, but. And then it has Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son, who plays like Jack Black's assistant, and what's her name? Naomi Watts, an Australian, playing the Fay Wray role. And this was just pure indulgence, but the story doesn't really matter. It's like a Marvel movie. It's like one of those comic book movies, a DC superhero movie. Like, you don't have to pay real close attention. You just enjoy the effects, right? And it was pretty, pretty wild stuff. But the crux of it all is, like, I guess it goes back to, like, they say... And I don't know who they is. Maybe the critics said that the original King Kong was like a love story. Like, he falls in love with her, but it's really a metaphor for something else. The post-industrialization of middle class America. I don't know, fucking. But it's a love story, right? I could see that. It's a weird take on it, but it's like most love stories, doomed to tragedy, doomed to like all great love stories, doomed to like I don't know, for whatever reason we feel like it's that much more bittersweet if there's like a a semi-tragic ending, like in The Notebook when James Garner is reading to the lady and it turns out she has dementia and, they were married or something. And, it's kind of like my folks, being married 52 years, but Pops has got, he's got dementia. He's in a memory care facility. It's just the tragedy. It's the Romeo and Juliet thing. It's a metaphor. Like love, love as hard to explain as it is, and I really kind of went hard in paint on the whole all you need is love type thing last episode. Check it out, by the way, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everyone else that serves up podcasts, that love is, love conquers all, and it does. It's its own thing. It can't get dirty or wet or broken it remains unto itself. It's the peripherals that start to kind of fall by the wayside, right? The looks fade, right? Looks fade, like I said. Like with Tom Brady and Giselle. Like, maybe that wasn't real love. If she's already running around with her jiu-jitsu instructor out on, in Costa Rica or something. Brady's all, he's a pro. He's probably hurting a little. Anytime you're with somebody, however long they were together, 10, 11 years, and it's ripped from the fabric of your life. There's going to be a transitional period. And you've created that void now. Like, you've created like a piece of scar tissue that you can't really smooth out anymore, right? He can't go back to her. She can't go back to him. They got kids. They're going to be cordial. I'm sure they're both going to be good parents. He has a son with Bridget Moynihan. I mean, he's not going to... Evidently, Rob Gronkowski's already lining him up with somebody. I don't know. Maybe, he went on to, like, J-Date or, Date a date a farm boy or some shit, or date a farm girl or farmer or country dating or whatever it is, like date a farm animal or some shit. What the fuck? Like date a farmer, like farmer date, like F date. I don't know. But love always exists, okay? And the looks fade. You know, in the story, the King Kong story, you know, like, it was never going to work out between the two of them. You know, his dong is like the size of an apartment building, so it just, you know, already it was physically a mismatch. And, but the love will always be there, you know. However you want to tidy it up with a bow, it'll always, love will exist. You know, if as evolved as people can be, you know, it's hard to dismiss love, but because look, like I said, looks fade. I mean, that's why the one-dimensional aspect of the Kardashians and stuff like that, and the shallowness of just the face value of things. Like you can't really, obviously you can't take things for their face value, and I don't really know where I was going with it. I thought King Kong was a good representation of love. It's like a tragedy, and he, you know, in the end, his heart was broke while he died. He fell off that building, and then and that's it. You know, it was never going to work out after that. Is he going to be like sitting in his lazy boy, his giant King Kong lazy boy with his feet kicked up, just sipping a banana daiquiri, you know, just the end of a long day of work, you know, just picking up railroad cars and chucking them into the Hudson River, come home to Naomi Watts, and she's like, "How was work, honey?" He's like, "Girl, I can't even talk about it, you know." You don't want to see that, you know. You don't want to see how it plays out, and I get that, like, because it doesn't always end well. It's not always like a Nicholas Sparks book. And by the way, fuck that guy. He went to my high school. He's still our 800 meter record holder at 151, I think. But yeah, he got divorced too. I swear to God. Like, as many books as that guy's written on some bullshit, you know, Harlequin romance basis type, you know, storyline narrative of this Hallmark love scene, weird bullshit. You'd think he'd have a handle on love, but you know, he got divorced too. I don't know. It's, I love. It's a motherfucker. And, I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of prepping myself for Valentine's Day. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. I'm psyching myself up. It's getting close. You know, it's less than a month away, folks. It's another contrived holiday that we gotta, you know, get ready for. And that's it. Speaking of Hallmark, I mean, how do those stores stay open? How the f- who's going in there buying those $38 ornaments now that Christmas is over and, you know, there's no legitimate holiday until when? I don't know. Memorial Day? Passover? I don't know. Fuck if I know, man. Well, that's all I got for you, okay? So, anyway, stay in school, kids. Love y'all. I'll talk at you later.
Arrivederci, babies.